In camp, now resumed his teaching job, for which he was paid $16 a month. Then, an unexpected opportunity. A representative from the American Friends Committee in Philadelphia, the Quakers, visited the camp to urge those who had been in college to apply for a security clearance so they could resume their studies. Now was encouraged to apply to the business studies program at Temple University in Philadelphia. The Quakers would help with the cost, and they helped him with the application process. He was accepted for the February term in 1943 for the class of 1945. "Thank God for the American Friends," he says. "This was a shining light. In 4.5 years, they sent more than 4,000 young Niseis to school." During a long, lonely train trip that took him across parts of the Deep South, Now saw for the first time the signs designating white and colored, separate water fountains and public toilets. By then, of course, he had his own deeply personal understanding of discrimination. When Now arrived in Philadelphia, his first real trip out of California, he was worried about how he would be treated, but quickly realized that with a deep tan he'd acquired in the Arizona desert, most people mistook him for a Puerto Rican. He did so well at Temple, getting his B.S. in business in the spring of 1945, that he was accepted for graduate work at the prestigious Wharton School of Business at the University of Pennsylvania. "I didn't even know what a famous school this was until later," he says. "I studied business and accounting, and once I got my master's degree, I pounded the streets of Philadelphia, applying to all the top accounting firms. They all said the same thing. You have excellent credentials, but we can't take a chance hiring you because of the war situation." Japan had surrendered the year before, but Americans remained deeply suspicious of anything Asian. By then, the families in the internment camps had been released, and Now's parents were back in Oxnard, where they resumed operating their market. They needed Now's help. "Being the only son," he said, "I had no choice." Besides, once back in California, he was relieved to discover his old neighbors had no lingering animosity. The family friend, Ignacio Carmona, had operated the store as the Los Hornigos Market, substituting chorizo, pan dulce, and menudo for the Asian products of the Takasugi reign. Carmona didn't disturb the locked storerooms, however, explaining to the Los Angeles Times later, "We knew that was their private property. We knew eventually they would take back the store." When that time came, Carmona simply said to the Takasugi family, "Welcome back. Thank you for letting us run the store," and he handed back the keys. Now was involved in every aspect of the family market. One day, he says, one of my Wharton classmates came to visit and found me behind the meat counter. He said, "You've got a degree from Wharton." I said to him, "MBA, Master of Butchering Arts." Under Now's stewardship, the market was flourishing. He wanted to expand, and he thought a new sign would help. However, the city denied the request. When Now complained to a city councilman, he was told there was an opening on the city planning commission. Would he like to serve? Now says, "I thought they needed a businessman's perspective. That was the beginning of my civic career." He had found his calling. He ran for the city council and was elected to 2 terms. Halfway through the second, the mayor's job opened, and Now had 3 good offers for the family market. He decided to sell and go for the top job at City Hall. "I was a little sad," he says, "because the market had been in the family since 1907, but selling the store freed me up to do a good job as full-time mayor." Now Takasugi was Mr. Mayor in Oxnard for 10 years. He had an important ally in the Mexican-American neighborhood called La Colonia. His old friend, Ignacio Carmona, was a community leader, and he stayed in close touch with the mayor's office. Carmona said of Takasugi, "He always made it a point to represent the Mexican community, and he speaks good Spanish." Takasugi kept his end of the bargain. He improved lighting, the roads, and police protection in La Colonia. In the rest of Oxnard, which had been called the doormat of Ventura County, he was successful in encouraging additional businesses, including a shopping center and an auto mall. By 1992, Takasugi was ready to move up the political ladder. He ran for the powerful California Assembly, the state legislature, as a Republican from a district where there were few Asian Americans, and he won easily. He was the first Asian American in the California Assembly in 12 years. Takasugi was 70 when he arrived in Sacramento, an age when most men are retired. But he quickly established a reputation as an energetic and pragmatic lawmaker. One of his first acts was to challenge the established way of doing business by proposing the legislators lose part of their salary and pay a fine if they didn't get the budget prepared on time. His party boss, Governor Pete Wilson, did not have Takasugi's support when Wilson supported the controversial statewide initiative to restrict the rights of immigrants. As Takasugi put it, "I am just one generation away from the immigrants coming to California, so I have to be very, very sensitive." In 1988, Congress passed an act calling for an official apology and reparations of $20,000 to each of the survivors of the Japanese internment camps. The congressional action came after a commission held 20 days of hearings with testimony from more than 700 witnesses who had lived through the ordeal of Executive Order 9066. It was a deeply troubling reminder of a time when, as the commission concluded, the broad historical causes that shaped these decisions were race, prejudice, war hysteria, and a failure of political leadership. In signing the congressional action, President Reagan admitted the United States had committed a grave wrong. There were other wrongs to be corrected. While most Japanese Americans were sent to camps, many young Japanese American citizens were relocated to Japan against their will. Didn't they deserve an apology and reparations? In 1996, the California Assembly was debating whether to pass a resolution encouraging Janet Reno to pay the extra reparations. Republicans were largely against the idea. Then, on their side of the aisle, Takasugi took the floor, and all were quiet as he said he would support the resolution. He told his fellow legislators that the memories of his own internment will never be erased. He said, "They may fade, but they will never go away." The resolution passed, 62-0. In his speech at the Presidio, Takasugi reminded his audience, America must never again fall prey to the temptation to count its citizens by color. "It is a lesson," he said, "that can be passed on to future generations."